Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am Tony Serino alongside Christopher Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, Chris and I are previewing tonight's game between the Steelers and Browns. Chris and I are going to give you our predictions to the game, and I will explain from yesterday's podcast why I predicted the Steelers to lose tonight's game. We're going to break this thing down from all angles. Chris will tell you what to watch for on offense and defense, and like I said, we will give our predictions for the game. Welcome to the show. You can find more of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Himalaya app, which has been around for a while. Wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow us on Twitter at LO Steelers. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit like on the Facebook page. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. All right, Chris, how you doing today?
Doing great, Tony. What's up? It's game day.
It is game day, a Thursday night game against the Cleveland Browns. That game is tonight in Cleveland. It will be on Fox. Do they simulcast these on NFL Network still? I'm not sure. Maybe. Might be on both channels.
I think so. Yeah. I who knows?
You could definitely see it on Fox. I know that for a fact. So
yeah, I think you can watch it on Yahoo or Amazon or one of those.
They still do them on Twitch. They used to do them on Twitch at one point.
Yeah, they're moving them around. But you Steelers fans, you're gonna be able to watch this one. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no matter where you are in the country, you don't need Sunday ticket for this one. This is a nationally televised game, a big one. Steelers Browns, of course. You know, we've been hyping this up all year. This is a primetime game. It's the Browns Super Bowl. This rivalry was supposed to be renewed this year. Doesn't have maybe the fanfare that it did in the preseason when you know the Steelers and how would they replace AB and you know could they maintain being a contender in the AFC, and could the Browns get there now? You know, the Steelers, while they are certainly on the up now, having won four straight. The Browns, on the other hand, 3-6 to this point, certainly not living up to their end of the bargain. Let's start, Chris, talking about this matchup with the injury list coming into this game. The Steelers list two players as questionable: Anthony Ciccolo with the rib injury he suffered, and Joe Hayden with an illness. Looks like he might have some sort of flu or something like that coming into this game. So he's also listed as questionable. Probably both guys can go here. And even if Ciccolo can't go, Adini is off the injury report. So the Steelers are good at the edge rush spot. And then Hayden, it's interesting. You wonder if the sickness is that bad that he needed to be listed here, or if this is one of those cases, Chris, where the NFL doesn't list players as probable anymore. And so, questionable becomes the new probable. And this is Hayden, where he might have been listed on as probable on the old injury report.
Yeah, that's the way I see it, Tony. It's just, it's like he's not feeling well, but, he's just coming off a great performance. Hey, you're the vet. You don't really need to practice that hard right now. And it's a short week. Like, it might not even have been an illness per se. It might just have been like, hey, guys, I'm banged up. Because I remember, in fact, in the locker room, I saw the trainer saying, I'll see you on Monday, Joe. And it could very well just be, hey, I'm tired. I need a day's rest. And they're like, okay, yeah, take this day off. We're headed there soon anyways. I don't look at this as a oh my gosh, Joe Hayden might not play type of situation.
No, same thing. This is like Tomlin likes to say during his press conferences, the bumps and bruises associated with play for Joe Hayden going into this Thursday game. Two running backs out in this one. Benny Snell still out with the knee injury, and Roosevelt Nix will also miss with the knee injury. But that means, Chris, Trey Edmonds good to go. That means James Conner. That's the big deal. Good to go. James Conner ready to go Thursday night. The Steelers, look, the running game without Conner in the last couple weeks has really been there in spurts, right? When we talk about the big run that Trey Edmonds had against the Colts. Otherwise, not a whole lot to speak for. So certainly the Steelers can use Conner and get him back in this matchup against the Browns.
Yeah, and this is a situation where I think if they can get some space for him at the second level. Don't forget, the last time when he faced off against the Browns, he did fumble late, but he had a lot of success against them in the season opener back in 2018. So I foresee Conner having a solid day in this game if the Steelers offensive line can get the kind of push that they have against the Browns in recent history. So lot of things that have to go right for them, but I think the way that Conner runs will be will work out better for this game, because they're going to be able to run those powers, pull some guys, get some lead blockers, and really help out with that. And that also could take the pressure off Mason Rudolph dealing with having to throw against the secondary with Denzel Ward and having to deal with the pass rush of Myles Garrett.
Chris, I don't know if you hear that in the background. That is the sound of our Facebook group going nuts when they heard that Ryan Switzer out for this game with a back injury. So it'll be Deontay Johnson, it looks like, returning punts. And who did they have returning kicks last week? Why is this escaping?
Tony Brooks James?
Tony Brooks James. That's it. That's who they had. So it'll likely be something like that in this game as well, because Switzer has been ruled out with a back injury. Chris, is this the week we see Deontay Johnson take one to the house? Does he always get a big play in punt return?
Well, I mean, I think the Steelers are just like, hold on to the ball, young guy, because he did jump. But this will be interesting. You know, if they can put the Browns in some questionable positions and some good field position, and, you know, maybe a not so happy punt goes in their favor, maybe like, oh, you know what, they didn't get a lot of hang time, let's see what this guy can do. Certainly could be an opportunity to see that. I know there was one play against the Rams where Switzer caught the ball with at least 10 yards of space and got 0 yards in the return. You know, those type of things, you can't, that's just tough.
And the one where he, I mean, look, we talked about this, but, you know, the safety is somewhat on Switzer.
Yeah. That's the return I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's that stuff is unacceptable, especially from a guy like Switzer, where that's really his only job on the team right now. So, you know, the thing that he does that Deontay Johnson has not done to this point is been very secure with the ball. Deontay Johnson obviously dropped one last week. Can't do that. Cannot give this Browns team free turnovers, which could turn into free points. So that's going to be something to watch in this game. Although, on the other hand, Deontay Johnson, much more of a big play returner than Switzer is, so he could also provide some splash in a positive direction as well. All right, going over to the Browns side, as we talked about on Tuesday, Chris, the Browns are coming into this game relatively healthy. They list two players as out for this game. Olivier Vernon with a knee injury. He's been out for a bit. That's a big one. I mean, look, this is Olivier Vernon. When you talk about some of the biggest acquisitions and some of the reasons why the Browns were thought to be this new contender in the AFC, it was Sheldon Richardson, it was Olivier Vernon added to already, you know, Myles Garrett on that defensive line. So not having Olivier Vernon there, certainly a big loss for the Browns. And also they list Eric Murray as being out with a knee injury. Chris, you know, I'm going to go back to Vernon here. You know, Mason Rudolph under pressure last week from the Rams, not having Vernon there for the Browns, you know, not to say this is going to be an easy game for the Steelers offensive line, because they're going to have to deal with Myles Garrett, and he, you know, he has done very well against the Steelers in the past, but no Vernon makes things, I guess, just a tad easier.
Well, yeah, you know, it's going to allow them to sort of key in on Garrett a little bit more. And honestly, the weakest part of the Steelers offensive line right now are the tackles. You know, I think that, you know, Pouncey's done a solid job. DeCastro, except for last week, has been great. And you know, whenever they've had a guy at guard, you know, I think Foster started slow, but he's picked it up. You know, Filer, I thought, filled in well last week. Finney's done well at guard. I think that they've got a lot of things going for them. But yeah, now that they kind of have that situation where they don't have to worry about Vernon as much, they can focus on Garrett. Now they can sort of shift some protections. You know, hey, running backs, key off on that guy. Make sure, and James Conner being their best protector, you know, coming out of the sidecar, him being back could be a huge part of this game, not just for the running, but for helping Rudolph in the backfield and chipping off on Garrett when he's back there. So definitely, you know, what could help in this game, knowing that Vernon isn't going to be a threat on the opposite side.
All right, we're going to go to break here. When we come back, I want to talk to Chris about this game and how he sees Browns-Steelers playing out, his keys to the game right after this. Hey, before we continue, want to let you guys know about MyBookie. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you just keep walking? Of course you take the money, so why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know that you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. Enter promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Chris, so let's get your take on Steelers-Browns tonight. Let's start with Baker Mayfield, because this is, you know, Baker Mayfield and the hype coming into the year was all the talk in Cleveland. He has not lived up to it. He has thrown a ton of interceptions in this season. Of course, the Steeler defense has been as good as anyone in the league this year at creating turnovers. So that it seems to be that's the, if we're just looking at an obvious way that this game could play out tonight, that seems to me to be the most obvious way, is that the Steelers either bring pressure on Baker and try to get him to get rid of the ball early and create turnovers that way, or, you know, is there a way, Chris, where they could sit back, you know, maybe only rush four, try to get pressure there with what is a bad Browns offensive line and with Watt and Dupree playing as well as they are, and try to confuse him with some more zone looks behind it. How do you think Keith Butler and the Steeler defense approach Baker Mayfield tonight?
I don't think they really need to worry about zone looks and everything. I think they need to rush up front with four. I think that they need to get creative on occasion, you know, kind of throw in that extra blitzer in the middle. Honestly, if you come in and run man against Baker and keep him in the pocket, I think he's going to panic. I think he's going to get I think he's you know, especially when the pass rush gets going. You know, the Browns offensive line has not been good at all this season. I can see Cam Hayward easily crashing the middle, Hargrave doing the same, and Watt and Dupree coming from the edges are dangerous, but let Vince Williams get into the act. You know, let Mike Hilton come off the edge once or twice and you know, throw a five-man blitz at him and have six guys in coverage, you know, with Minka floating over top. I think that those type of plays could really mess with Baker's head, because he's just looked very skittish at times.
Yeah.
And that's why he's thrown so many interceptions. I know some people are like, well, there's been some that bounce off his hands, but there's plenty that he's thrown that have been in the best spots because he's rushed and he feels like he's has to do too much. Take advantage of that. If he's gonna get happy feet in the pocket, that's only gonna work against him. So I honestly think a lot of this comes down to they need to be able to limit Chubb and Hunt. They got to be able to make sure that those guys aren't, you know, making for easier second and third down opportunities. And then when the time comes, you know, when you get those off the chance to pin your ears back, you got to crush him. You got to crush you got to crush Mayfield. You got to crush his offensive line. And when he throws those bad passes, you're going to need your Minkas and your Haydens and your Bushes to get to the football and capitalize on those turnovers. Because honestly, I think if you're able to get a turnover and get some scores on the board, if this Steelers team goes up 14 at any point in time in the middle of the game, I think that it's going to put a lot of pressure on Mayfield to try and do too much, and that's when he makes his biggest mistakes.
Yeah, that's what it turns into, the old fashioned fun fest in Cleveland. Yeah. Let's go to the running game in Cleveland, because I think this is an interesting story coming into this one, is the return of Kareem Hunt to this offense. It was a big question I had about the Browns coming into the season, which is, look, you got Nick Chubb. He's a great running back. Why are you trying to mess that up with bringing Kareem Hunt in as well? But, you know, we're going to see that tonight. We're going to see the Browns try to utilize both backs. Look like they ran some formations last week where I guess both guys were on the field at the same time. Interesting looks. The Steelers in the last couple weeks, look, it's hard to say that they've been susceptible to the run, given that, you know, it's not like they've been gashed in any way. Todd Gurley had, what, 70 yards, and Mack had pretty much the same thing. But they did give up some bigger runs, right? If you were going to say that there is a quote-unquote weakness of this defense right now, I guess it would be the running game. And if you were trying to carve out any path for the Browns to win this game, it would have to be through guys like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So, you know, Chris, the Steelers have done this kind of rover look, the one defensive lineman look. They played a lot of dime last week. In this game, given that this doesn't feel like the kind of game where Baker's going to come in and you're not worried about him kind of carving up this secondary, do you want to stay in base? Do you want to play more three down linemen, keep Vince Williams in the game to limit guys like Chubb and Hunt and make sure that the Browns can't beat you that way?
No, don't come out with your normal look. Keep two strong interior defensive linemen with Watt and Dupree on the edges. I do think rotate in Williams, rotate in, you know, keep him in the mix to try and take on and become that battering ram in the middle of the field. You know, but also trust Barron and Bush to be able to be fast and get to their spots as well. Don't just rely on Vince. you know, but I think there's a really good chance that they could, if they trust those guys to take away the run on early downs, and put that pressure on Baker, that's where you're going to see your success. And especially if you watch how Chubb runs, he's very aggressive. He can get very north south very quickly. You can't let him build up that momentum and start breaking tackles and hitting those gaps and letting them kind of set the tone. You gotta trust. I think a lot of this is going to be on Hayward, Hargrave, and Alualu in the middle gaps, kind of holding down their guys. Don't let yourself get double teamed and blown out the hole. If you do get double teamed, take them down. Make sure that if they're going to double team you, they're not going to move you, and that'll give Williams and company the space to kind of see the holes and attack and bring him down in the hole. I also think you might see a little bit of Terrell Edmonds coming up in there. He's the team's second leading tackler, and I think you could see him coming up and being the big body that he is as far as the safety. He could really help against the run as well as take on a tight end in coverage. So I think you might see a little bit more of Terrell Edmonds bumping down into the box and letting Minka play that single high look where he turns into a complete predator for the football.
Let's go over to the offensive side for the Steelers now, because you got Mason Rudolph coming off of what was probably his best game as a pro so far, and it came against a pretty good defense in the LA Rams, right? I mean, he faced a hell of a pass rush last week and made some of his best throws. Now, though, he's going to go on the road, really, Chris, for the first time since his first NFL start. That was against the 49ers back in Week 3. He's played only home games since then. This is a Browns team that maybe is susceptible in some ways, and with Mason, playing, kind of being the hot hand, if you want to call him that, at this point, but also James Conner coming back. How open do you want Randy Feuchner to have this offense, or should Randy Feuchner have this offense, or should this be similar to the game plans against, teams like the Bengals, where it was very run-heavy to try and, utilize clock and shorten the game and, don't beat yourself type of situation?
Well, I mean, I think it should be similar to how they approach the Rams. Come out, take your shots. When you see your one-on-ones, give it a look-see. I was concerned that Ramsey would become a problem for the Steelers. I mean, he had bullied Ben Roethlisberger in recent years with the way that he played him into certain interceptions. He couldn't get that out of Rudolph. And I know that he's playing in a new system, and he's kind of restricted because he can't be as much as freelance as he wanted to be. But still, I mean, there were plenty of times that Mason just smartly said, hey, I'm going to target this. He also had a hard time running with Deontay Johnson and Juju at times. I really think that, Denzel Ward's dangerous, but I really think that there's a chance that I say, Rudolph, we're coming out with a game plan. It's not going to be for you to throw the ball 50 times, but it's not going to be for you to check it down 20 times either. I think that they need to take advantage of the opportunities. I think they still have some athletic wide receivers. James Washington's been coming on. Deontay Johnson is still a route running problem, and you still got Juju who has been a hard time for the Browns at times. Denzel Ward can't go everywhere, and if they can't find answers in their secondary, that's what you start picking at them. And they did a really good job. I thought, one thing that Mason Rudolph did, he went after Troy Hill, who was the number two cornerback for the Rams in the last game.
Yeah.
Find that weak spot, pick on somebody. And if you're getting comfortable with that, keep doing it until you start to see the defense adjust to it, and then go to a different area. And then also use that power run. It's time to get James Conner in the mix. And this is also got to take into account, Tony, this is a very short week. This is a Thursday night game. Weird things happen on Thursday night games. Yes. So I think there's going to be prone for more mistakes on both sides. There's going to be lack of discipline type of moments. It's going to be who capitalizes the best on those type of plays.
All right, and then final question here. I think this is the most important one, Chris. Is tonight the night that Johnny Holton finally gets his deep ball? Do they make the connection?
If I had to say no, I don't think it will be. I think they're going to have some deep connections, but I don't think it will be to Holton. Maybe they give it a shot, but Holton has been seeing the field a lot, mainly on those heavy package downs. Mm-hmm. And when they do, they're running the football. And here's the thing. If you put Holton out there like that, most likely it's going to be Denzel Ward on him. I wouldn't try a jump ball with Denzel Ward and Johnny Holton. That just doesn't seem like the recipe for success. You know, unless you call play action and Holton gets a step on him and you say, hey, I'm going to float it deep because my guys, you know, passed him. I'm going to at least, you know, give him a shot so that he can catch the ball and Ward can't. But I don't see that happening in this game. You know, maybe down the line when they're playing other teams.
Yeah, save it. I'm saying save it for the playoff run, man. Save it for the big games.
Or test it out against the Bengals next week when you're on the road. But not this game. To me, Tony, this game is really important because I can see the Browns maybe winning this game. I can see them, you know, getting excited after beating Buffalo, which was an upset for them. And knowing they have to make their stand here and now, otherwise they're pretty much out of the playoffs. But I can't see the Browns, if they lose this game, winning at Heinz Field. I can't see them turning around in 2 weeks and saying, we're going to Heinz Field, we're going to whip those guys. This team is ready to implode. They've been playing poorly for most of the season. You got Baker Mayfield coming after his own fans, saying that they shouldn't cheat. They need to quiet down. You know, I get the point. Yeah, quiet fans should be quieter when the offense is on the field, but you can find a smarter way to say that. You know, have your scoreboard guys put that message out. They say, you know, Bennett work with, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger was in the huddle and people would understand they had to be quiet at Heinz Field. You know, tell your coach to say it, or say, hey, you know, dog pound, let's take it to the Steelers. We need your help. Be loud for them and quiet for us. You know, and don't insult them by saying that's just normal football. Then you insinuate that these fans shouldn't like you or because you think they're stupid. So I think they got a lot of other issues to worry about, Tony. And, you know, momentum does carry. There's a chance that they could be feeling themselves. And if they get, like, if the Steelers make some mistakes like they did against the Rams, like a snap that goes over Rudolph's head for a touchdown, maybe they start feeling themselves early and they build off that. But bad teams, which I think the Browns are a bad team, bad teams crumble when bad things happen. So I think the Steelers have to take advantage of those moments and not give the Browns ways to get out of those situations. And if they do, I really see them. I think that's the key to them sweeping the Browns and sweeping the rest of the AFC North to set up that showdown against the Ravens at the end of the season.
Yeah, and they may sweep the Browns. I don't know if they're going to sweep Freddie Kitchens, though. I don't, you know, Chris, we talked about this, that the long week the Browns have after this one, the Steelers may extend that streak of having Browns coaches fired. Kitchens would be the next in a long line of Browns coaches. All right, we're going to go to break here. When we come back, we'll do my predictions, and I will explain. I know I saw the thread on the Facebook group today. I saw everyone said, wait, hold on, why Tony picked the Browns to win? Why? I'll explain after this break. All right, Chris, before we get to our predictions, I want to get your keys to the game. What's the biggest thing the Steelers have to do or take away from the Browns in order to come away with a win tonight?
Number one, stop the running game. Do not let Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt beat you. If Baker Mayfield comes out and slings the ball into tight passing windows and you know, beats Joe Hayden and Minka Fitzpatrick and Steven Nelson, good for him. But he is not going to hand the ball off to two dogs of running backs in Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb and let them control the game for him to give him play action later in the game and let him, you know, kind of hide behind their run game. You have to take that away. You have to challenge him, Baker Mayfield, to beat you consistently throughout the game. So number one, take away the run. Number two, Tony, I think the biggest thing on offense is Mason has to be smart with his one-on-ones. Don't fall for any baits. Don't put yourself in a position where you're turning the ball over and giving Baker a short field. Find your places you could pick at the Browns defense. You know, throw into the smart places. Have and also use motion. Find ways for Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington to move about the field, identify where they're at so you can make the smart throws. And I'm not saying the safe throws. I'm saying the smart throws. I mean, they are safe in nature, but not by the sense of checking down just to five-yard passes the entire game. Take your shots, but avoid throwing into, you know, spots where the Browns are favoring that you want to target, because they're going to try and confuse them. They're going to try and use their athleticism on defense, and they're also going to try and buy time for Myles Garrett to get to Rudolph. And number three, and it's the biggest one, when you push the Browns up against the wall, as I think they will at some point, you have to knock them out. And when I say knock them out, I mean get Baker Mayfield, force the turnovers, be the turnover demons they have been this season. Tony, I made a prediction last week. I'm repeating it this week. We're getting another 4 turnover game from the Steelers defense, and that's going to put them at 30 through 10 games this season if they pull this off. And I think they will. And I'm not saying it's going to be all interceptions and all on Baker, but I am saying I think this is going to be a turnover happy game for the Steelers defense. But it's going to take Mason Rudolph and that offense just putting just enough points on the board to kind of put the pressure on Baker Mayfield to get desperate. And then you're going to see some desperate plays where at least the defense making big plays on the other way around, maybe a defensive touchdown for a third week in a row, which would be insane, or just putting the offense in really good field position. And then as that lead continues to grow, that's what helps the Steelers win. But those are my keys. Stop the run. Find your one-on-ones on offense. And make sure you crumble Baker Mayfield and his offense when you get the chance.
All right, so everyone heard my prediction yesterday. I know. Well, actually, let me explain that segment for a second.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony, because we've talked about this. I feel like you were not done correctly, but you needed to fully explain yourself. So go
yeah,
right
ahead. It was weird because, you know, like to peel back the curtain a little bit with the way the crossovers work, right? Is, you know, we're dealing with another host and how they record the podcast and all of that. So Jeff and I, it was a lot of fun doing that crossover with him, but the one issue was that we were on a hard deadline. The software that Jeff uses to record the podcast on his end has a hard out at 40 minutes, right? So that's why the podcast yesterday kind of ended so abruptly. Is we got out of that second break, we went into kind of how do you see this game is going to play out, and I looked at the timer and we had like 2 minutes to go, right? So he got to say his spiel, I got to say very little. You know, I mean, I basically just said, yeah, I think the Browns are going to win, and then we got out of there. And a lot of people said, hey, Tony, wait, hold on. Because on Tuesday's podcast, you said, spoilers, there's no way the Steelers lose this game, so why are you predicting the Steelers to lose? And I had a whole bit prepared on the podcast yesterday to do, and then we just didn't have time. So here's my take on this game, Chris. There's no way, in my head, okay, there's no way the Steelers lose this game. If I go into like Doctor Strange mode, okay, when I try to imagine all the possibilities for this game. And I know Doctor Strange came up with one way that humanity won. There's no way in my mind that the Browns come away, because the only way that I can think of is what you talked about. The Browns getting that running game going, running through, doing that punch them in the mouth type of scenario that you see teams do every once in a while. Where, you know, they're just going to go run heavy and we're going to be more physical and all of that, right? Okay, the Steelers just played Marlon Mack, one of the most underrated running backs in the league, and then Todd Gurley. They played against Frank Reich and they played against Sean McVay, two of the better young coaches in the NFL right now. If you're trying to convince me that it is Freddie friggin' Kitchens, who's the one that is like, oh, light bulb moment, I'm the one who can figure out how to beat this Steeler defense in 2019 after watching Frank Reich and Sean McVay struggle, I'm sorry, I don't believe you. I do not believe you. I think this game is as easy as it looks. Baker Mayfield and that Browns offense is as undisciplined as any team in the NFL. They are a turnover machine, and the Steelers on the other side are a takeaway machine. And when you add those two things together, you get a Steeler win. However, all year, Chris, you and I have both predicted when we go through the schedule that this is going to be a loss, right? Or this is going to be one of their toughest games. I think we both, on our preseason thing, we both predicted the Steelers to lose this game for the reason that it's on Thursday, like you talked about, weird things happen. So I just don't like the confidence I'm coming in this week with. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I think for that reason, I'm picking the Steelers to lose, because while I don't think there's any, I can't think of a way. It's the Browns on the road. It's a Thursday game. Weird things happen. I'm going to be interested to see how this one plays out tonight, if I am right. But, yeah, that's my take on the game. I'm picking them to lose, even though my heart says they're going to win. My head says they're going to win. There's just a feeling in my gut that says it's all too easy.
All too easy, he says. So what you're saying is basically that, you know, in your if we're really going with your MCU thing, mm-hmm. you're basically saying that with Frank Reich, and I'm sorry that this is really funny with Frank Wright and Sean McVay,
right?
Basically, that was like Captain America and Thor getting their chance to go up against Thanos, and they couldn't figure it out. And now you're sending, like, Drax up against him.
Right, no, it would be like, you remember the meme where it was like Ant-Man's going to be the one to beat Thanos in the end? Yeah, it would be like if Ant-Man really were the one to beat. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that this Browns team, the way they are constructed, the way they are playing, it would be one thing if, like we talked about this, there was no light bulb that went off for that Browns team on Sunday. They bumbled and stumbled their way into a win over the Bills. Team that just happened to show that they're not for real. So, you know, I just look at this game, and it's like so obvious. The Steelers are playing their best football of the year. The Browns are still the Browns, even though, yes, they got a quote-unquote good win over the Bills. The Steelers should win this game easily. And that's why it worries me, and that's why I'm picking the Browns.
No, I understand that. I was listening to some guys talk about this game, and, Tim Benz says this a lot when he's on he was on the Adam Crowley show, and he said, this seems like this is the Tomlin drop game. Where he's a little too confident. No. Tim Benz's theory is that they're going to win this game, then beat the Bengals, then be so overconfident that they lose to the Browns once they're at Heinz Field.
Weird ones usually happen on the road, though, right? If you look back at Tomlin's record, it's usually on the road.
It's usually on the road. So yeah. I understand why you're feeling sensitive there. But here's why you're wrong, Tony. Because the Steelers are coming into this game, they know they're not satisfied with 5-4. And if you guys have like stump, preach music, play it while I'm saying.
you need two audio things going at the same time.
Yeah. So but this is the thing: the Steelers, they're tired of it. They've heard for months of how the Browns were going to shellack them, destroy them, show them that they're nothing, overtake the division, and here they are. They still aren't getting respect. Even though they've won four games in a row. Deion Sanders, the day after they beat the Rams, was like, I don't care about the Steelers. They haven't beaten anybody yet. And Deion Sanders, one of the people saying that the Browns are going to make moves. Everyone's talking about the Browns. Well, this is their chance to punch them in the mouth and shut them up in their own stadium. And not that the Steelers don't do that all the time, but they need to do it. And last year, they didn't do it in their stadium.
Yeah.
This is the chance to redeem themselves in more ways than one. And I think they're absolutely looking at this like, look, week in and week out, they know what they can play. And one thing that Matt Williamson says a lot, that a lot of people say a lot, I don't know who started the saying, but defense travels well. Good defense travels well.
Yep.
And the Steelers have a very good defense right now. And I think if they're the ones that are clicking, and they're not playing a guy who's safe with the football. If they were going up against a quarterback that was playing like Mason Rudolph and, who wasn't lighting teams up but also wasn't turning the ball over, I could see that, factoring in their favor. But Baker Mayfield, he's been slinging it. He has not been afraid to make the big mistakes. And to be honest, he hasn't really made the big plays either. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick right now has more touchdowns this season than Odell Beckham. So I think that speaks loudly to what's been going on in Cleveland. The Steelers, they got to do their thing. I think they will do their thing. They're going. They know that Nick Chubb is a lot more of a threat than the way that, because I mean Todd Gurley I think is a threat, but they knew that Sean McVay isn't using him. They know Marlon Mack can get busy, so but they also knew that the Colts use a balanced offense. They know that Nick Chubb is the heart, is the best part of the Browns offense. They're going to try and take that away. And I think in doing that, they're going to trust that their stars in the secondary can lock down the Browns receivers. I think Joe Hayden's playing played his best game we've seen him play all year. Maybe his best game next to the Patriots game last year. So I think he's hot. Steven Nelson's playing hot. Edmund's playing well. And Minkah Fitzpatrick is looking like the defensive MVP candidate for sure. This is the time to put your foot right in their butts and send them down to the basement. Well, they can't go in the basement because the Bengals are there, but they're going to be living right next to it. So, I say this game is going to be a very good game for the Steelers. I think the Browns get some plays here and there, but I'm predicting 27-12 Steelers. The Browns get a touchdown with a missed extra point and two field goals. But otherwise, the Steelers dominate. And you're going to be seeing them celebrating in Cleveland on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, I don't have a score prediction because, like I said, I don't know how this game is going to play out tonight, Chris. I'm with you. Everything you said is 100% true. It's 100% true. That's why it worries me. That's why tonight worries me, man. I don't. What's funny about it is like this team, this season has gone so well to this point because this could set up for a great Sunday, right? If the Steelers win tonight, then you have the Texans playing the Ravens on Sunday, If the Texans win that game, the Steelers are back within a game of the Ravens with still a game against them at the end of the year. All of a sudden, the Ravens start looking behind them like, hey, hold on a minute. This Steelers team is really not going anywhere. A win tonight would be humongous in that, you know, the AFC wildcard picture will play itself out, win or lose tonight. But the division race is, you know, if the Steelers win tonight and the Ravens lose on Sunday, absolutely back on for that AFC North. And that final game of the year between the Steelers and Ravens could be the Sunday night game to decide the division in week 17. All right, Chris and I will be back tomorrow to recap Steelers-Browns. But before then, Chris, let people know where they can find your work.
As always, find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques, where I'm breaking down everything there. If you at me, or if you follow me, I'll follow you back. If you at me, I'll talk with you. Sorry for those if I've missed you. I work a lot of jobs, so that kind of keeps me busy sometimes. But hit me with a DM. I'm always down to chat with you guys. Thanks so much for interacting with us. You really help us really build the community we have. Join our Facebook group, Locked On Steelers, on Facebook. You can join and talk with all our other listeners. We get in there as well when we have the time. Also, if you're listening to this podcast, you like what you hear, please hit that subscribe button. If you already have done that, please leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast service that you're listening through. And also leave a positive comment with that 5-star review. Those really help us promote the show out to everyone else. You can also find my work at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I write my Carter's Classroom column, breaking down the X's and O's so you can see all the intricacies of the game that are benefiting the Steelers. Subscribe for right now for just 99¢ for a trial month. You'll get all our coverage. We cover Pitt. We cover the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, better than anybody else out there, only at dkpittsburghsports.com.
Want to give a shout out to, this is on Stitcher. I haven't checked the Stitcher reviews, and I apologize for all of you who've been leaving reviews on Stitcher. But want to give a shout out to all three. Leo, who wrote, gave us a 5-star review, said this podcast is informative and entertaining. Appreciate that, Leo. Steeler Dan wrote in, these guys know their stuff, know how to deliver. And then Eric wrote in and said these two, Chris and Tony the Hater or Hype Man, are great. Which, you know, 50% of those are great. But thank you to everyone who wrote in, leaving us a 5-star review. Like Chris said, it really does help spread the word about the show. So wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. Help spread the word. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. And Chris and I will be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.